League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Hamish Harris, who is an executive director of Drinks Investor Rogue Baron. Welcome, Hamish.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
No, good to have you on. Perhaps before we sort of get into the details of some of the recent news flow that you've put out, perhaps if you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself and the company.
Well, my background is in investment banking for about 20 years in the UK and Asia. And I've recently gone into the drinks industry in the last 5 years with Rogue Baron, which was formerly Heumann Brands, and we split that company out. Rogue Baron's primary brand is a premium Japanese whiskey called Shinju. We've got a 3 and an 8-year-old. It's been selling predominantly in the USA, but we've now gone into Europe. We've got some UK sales as well. We've also got a super premium tequila brand called Copa Imperial, which we've got, which is in storage, and it's got super age. It's up to 10 years old, which is extremely old for tequila. And we've also got a dormant brand called Mazaro, which is a gold leaf champagne. But that's dormant at the moment, but we do have stock of that. But that's something potentially for the future, which we can talk about in a bit.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Let's start with Shinju, because the recent news revolves around that and institutional investment into that subsidiary. Tell us about the investment and sort of how that sort of affects the sort of financials of the business.
Well, the investments, as you said, has gone directly into the Shinju subsidiary. That's sort of massive valuation compared to our current market cap. You know, we're talking, you know, a £3 million post-money valuation compared to, say, £500,000 for the company, which I think just goes to show how valuable industry sort of people value the Japanese whiskey space, and Shinju in particular. You know, Shinju's gone from having no sales in the space of 2 or 3 years into, you know, distribution in 18 states, gone distribution with RNDC, who's the second biggest distributor in the USA. So I think people will see there's obviously a lot of value there, and with some capital behind it, can seriously grow. And given that circa 90% of the market's dominated by Suntory and Nikka, you know, most of the majors don't have a Japanese whiskey. So it's obviously big potential to be bought out, or, you know, some corporate transaction there on a decent valuation. So I think that's reflected in the valuation we're able to achieve on Shinju.
Yeah, very, very good deal indeed. And it's not just Japan where the focus is. The USA is obviously a very important market for you. You've appointed a broker there. This is a very, very sort of unusual move for a UK-listed stock. What's the rationale behind that appointment?
Well, the rationale for that is a couple of things. One is that America, as per the Shinju deal, tends to give a lot bigger valuation for drinks companies at our end of the market. Most of our sales, you know, are in the USA. That's where distribution is. Most of our management are in the USA. We cross-trade on the pink sheets. We're on OTCQB, which we'll probably go back to at some stage. So, you know, we think potentially we can raise a substantial amount of money in the USA, which obviously in the UK has been difficult in the last two or three years, particularly on Atlas, but also on AIM. You know, there's lack of liquidity here. The states provide that. And, you know, already 20% plus of our shareholders are American anyway. So we've got a lot of shareholders over there and a lot of interest in the story because people can see Shinji on the shelves.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully things are improving over here in the UK, but no, it sounds like a very sensible move. And I guess, you know, the rationale behind a US listing, as you say, that the ability to raise funds is you know, to really back further investment into the portfolio. So perhaps you can talk us through, you know, what opportunities are out there, what investment opportunities are out there, and a recent acquisition that you actually did make, 8 Vodka.
There are a lot of opportunities out there at the moment. I mean, you know, drinks industry is a tough business. You know, you can spend a lot of money. You can start a new brand tomorrow and you can spend $10 million to get as far as we have in terms of distribution. It's tough and it's very competitive. And that's why we probably stick more to the premium end where we've got high barriers to entry. Japanese whiskey, for example, is extremely hard to enter. You know, you try and do a business with a Japanese distillery, most people just can't do it. Same as their aged tequila. It's, you know, up to 10 years age, you can't just go and age. You know, it's hard to buy the agave plants, let alone age something for 10 years. So we try and stick to areas where we think we've got a competitive advantage. So that means we'd be very reluctant, for example, to get involved in trying to sell something that where you're competing with, you know, something like Smirnoff or, you know, Johnny Walker. You just can't do it. It's too, it would spend too much money and too much in terms of marketing and logistics to do that. So we're looking for sort of niche brands. You know, there's something that complements our current range. Obviously, for us, if we can go into a distributor or, you know, whether it be a restaurant or off-license, et cetera, with Shinju, we're paying the same salesperson no matter what, so we might as well have more than one or two brands. And the buyers will also prefer us to have more than multiple brands. They don't want to deal with 50 different people. They want to deal with a smaller number of brand owners. It just makes life easy for them. So if, you know, depending on raising money, we'll definitely look to, you know, add new brands down the track one way or the other.
Yeah, indeed. Tell us a little bit about 8 Vodka, which is a deal you've already done.
Well, 8 Vodka is interesting for a number of reasons. The primary reason we find it so interesting is there's potential value just in the trademarks. Obviously, given the Chinese connotations for 8, they're a lucky number, and they, you know, particularly in Hong Kong and China, it's a big thing. So there might be some real value there. But the vendors behind 8 are very well connected in terms of some upmarket restaurants and nightclubs, both the UK and Spain. So it's not just the brand of 8 that we see the value in. It's being able to assist us in getting some traction in both South America and Spain and the UK.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. You mentioned tequila and your age tequila. Tell us a little bit about this. It's in storage. You know, what's the plan for that?
Well, originally, you know, go back a couple of years, we were going to take that out of storage and put it in barrels because you can't sell it from storage in a big vat. You have to, under the tequila rules, you have to actually re-age it in a barrel for a minimum of 3 months to call it Blanco. But we'd have to do it for a year because we'd sell it as a añejo. The only reason we haven't concentrated on that so far is because the Japanese whiskey took off so well. But obviously the tequila market has boomed. I mean, it's the second biggest selling spirit in the USA. It's about to become number one. We think we've got something fairly unique because it's so aged. So what the plan would be to that would be to rebarrel it, give them raise some money, and then combine that with some more white label of the younger expressions like Blanco and then sell it particularly into the States.
Yeah.
But you know, tequila, when we first started, no one wanted to know about tequila. Everyone said, no, Hamish, just talk about the Japanese whiskey. And now everyone's saying, oh, what about the tequila? So,
yeah.
And I think that's only just starting to hit the UK. You know, tequila and mezcal now are suddenly becoming a lot more, you know, on the shelves everywhere you go, you'll see a tequila now.
Yeah. So the George Clooney effect, perhaps.
Absolutely, you know, and The Rock, it's becoming mainstream, and there's still plenty of space for the tequila to go into.
Yeah, indeed. Gin. So the one that has been booming over here in the UK is the gin market. Do you have plans for gin, or is that a boom that, you know, maybe sort of nearing its end?
Well, you've seen all the shelves in a lot of pubs that the number of gins being carried has dropped dramatically. I mean. Problem with gin is that anyone can make gin. It's like vodka. It's simple. You don't have to age it. I mean, you've got to, you think about tequila, you have to grow the agave plant for 7 to 9 years, and then you have to age it in a barrel for 3 years to get an añejo. You know, Japanese whiskey is the same. Our Shinju 8-year-olds are 8 years aged. Vodka and gin, you don't have to age. You know, anyone can do it. Just get by cheap still. So it's an unbelievably competitive market. So we the only way we look at a gin, if it have to be a premium gin, and it'd have to have a very special story to it, because it's one of those areas that's so competitive. So it's certainly something to think about. But for us to try and even sell a gin in the UK would be incredible. So, no, we'll stick to our knitting, and we'll look at super premium brands and premium brands. We think we've got a niche.
Makes a lot of sense. Very sensible. It sounds like a very disciplined, very disciplined approach you're taking across the portfolio.
Well, no, it's easy if you're one of the big players and you bring out a new pink gin and you spend $20 million on or pounds on marketing. It makes a lot. Their old approach to anything is like, let's just spend more money on marketing. But when you're a small listed company like us, we have to be a bit extremely careful about how we spend our capital. You
Indeed,
know,
indeed.
because something like Japanese whiskey, you can sell it without a huge marketing budget because it's so hard to get hold of. Whereas when you go into something like gin or a cheaper rum or vodka, it's a different story altogether.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I say a great portfolio you've built so far. Looking forward to trying some of the products, and looking forward to keeping up with your progress as you add more. Thank you so much, Hamish, for speaking to us.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.